there's like a million content creators that we want to have on. Obviously, you know, our first choice was Mr. Amazing, but
of course,
this is our capstone episode. After this, we could stop doing the show.
It's kind of going to be all downhill from here.
I mean,
well, that's why we have to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
What can I say? They don't call me Mr. Amazing for nothing. Hello, this is Mr. Amazing, and you're listening to The First Podcast.
Hi.
Hey, my name's Joe, I'm the co-host, and with me as always, I have Lars. Take it away, Lars.
Take what away? Okay. Yeah, this is The First Podcast. Welcome to The First Podcast. This is the first podcast ever. We were the very first ones to do the very first podcast, the godfathers of the medium.
It all started in 1972, and basically we decided to do a podcast, and it had to do with some time travel stuff, and we were not able to release the episodes for a good many decades, so we had this tremendous stockpile, and we're even still now releasing.
Yeah, but who gives a shit? Let's just go ahead and do the episode. Who cares about us? We're here for the guest.
So,
or actually, the host of the show, Mr. Amazing, a.k.a. Shay. Mr. Amazing, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us on.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm so glad I could have you here. It's been great.
Yeah, it's Mr. Amazing.
Yes.
And
yes.
Here's the question that's been on everyone's mind since the moment that we posted about it in the Discord, which is, for people who don't know, who the hell is Mr. Amazing?
And what does he do?
So, I do video essays, and I guess that's, like, who I am, too. It's not, like, the most spectacular thing in the world, but that's what it is. I'm mostly known for, like, the editing aspect of it. I do, like, a lot of motion graphics type stuff.
Okay.
That's really all there is to it.
Do you have a favorite video that you've done?
I have to say, I made a video on Leafy Is Here, like, a long, long time ago. And I wouldn't say that one's my favorite, but it was, like, the first time I really did a lot of motion graphics stuff. So it was kind of my favorite for, like, getting to do it for the first time. It's, like, private now. Like, you can't access it anymore.
Oh,
so I guess the one that's, like, still accessible would be, like, the Vaporwave video that I made.
That's cool.
Ah, the one that has Frank JFC in it, who we've interviewed as well.
Indeed.
Oh, did you listen to that one?
Yeah, I listened to that one for a little bit, too. Listened to him go on, like, some tangents about, like, his shopping habits or something.
Lars, I thought you were asking him if he's listened to his own Vaporwave video.
No, to the podcast, obviously. Of course he's watched his own Vaporwave video. Yeah, of course. Getting the bad jokes out of the way, I see.
There was no joke. That's actually what I thought. But
oh, okay.
Enough about me. Is it too soon for a hypothetical question?
It's never too soon for a hypothetical question, Joe.
Shoot, go for it.
So the setting is medieval Europe. You have to choose a profession in the mid-1500s in Europe. And what do you choose?
That is tough. That is very tough. I think I would go with something very obvious. I would say a baker.
Okay.
And here's why. Because not only do I get to work with food, but I get to watch all the hungry people come to me for that food.
Did baking exist in the 1500s, though? That's...
What? You think they didn't have cakes?
When was baking invented?
Let me Google that really... I'm actually an expert on that.
Oh, you're not going to Google it. You're just going to give us your knowledge. Okay.
Yeah, so the world's oldest oven was discovered in Croatia in 2014, dating back 6,500 years.
Oh, okay. So it did exist. All right.
Yeah.
The thing about baking in the 1500s, though, is that you're working with stuff that it would probably kill you because you don't have the ancient immunities to it and stuff. So that profession would probably kill you.
Well, I'm actually an expert in baking in the medieval ages. And in the medieval period, baking was a luxury few were able to enjoy.
Bacon was a luxury?
Baking. Sorry. Oh, baking. I must have read it wrong.
Okay.
So I'd be in the upper class, essentially. I don't think that's a bad deal.
As a baker?
Yeah. That's a pretty good deal.
I guess. It depends on if you're like a baker for the peasants or like a baker for the king.
I mean, why not both?
Well, there were no bakers for the peasants because it was a luxury item, and peasants couldn't afford luxury items.
Also, you wouldn't want to be a baker for the peasants if you were a baker for the king, because then, you know, society was very classist back then in a way that... So, like, you wouldn't want to sully your name by being a baker for the peasants at that point.
Or I could enter in and see all the peasants are going to be like, well, we want this cake. We want this bread. We want these cookies. Why can't we have them? And that's where I could come in and say, well, here you can.
Giving cookies to the peasants?
Yes.
Would you rather be a baker that invented something new but wasn't very good at it, or a baker that just was very traditional and didn't invent anything new, but you were really good at it?
I think the one that invented new things, because then people would say hundreds of years later, that was so amazing. That was Mr. Amazing.
There it is. That's what we were waiting for.
Exactly.
By the way, how did you get your name? Why Mr. Amazing?
That exactly is how. That I was 14 years old. I, you know, lacked creativity. In some ways, I still do. And I thought to myself, what do I want people to take away from these videos? I want them to say, that was amazing. Mr. Amazing.
Didn't you used to do cringe compilations, though?
Yes. Yeah, I did. And they were not so amazing.
I was going to say, like, I looked you up on Wikitubia, and it mentioned that you had this whole history as a cringe compilationist, and I noticed that those videos weren't up on the channel as I could see them.
Yeah, so there was a whole thing a couple years back where my channel was shut down a few times for, like, copyright reasons, because
okay,
I was, like, essentially just re-uploading other people's videos.
Oh.
So I eventually had to delete all those videos, and then I started making what I make now.
I see. How big did you get as a cringe compilation network?
I mean, I got about 30,000 subscribers doing that, and, like, still to this day, I get a comment or 10 on every single video saying, do you remember when you made cringe compilations? So I definitely got a very loyal fan base doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That still remembers that I do it.
I feel like that's kind of a silly question. Do you remember when you made cringe compilation video? Like,
of course you remember. Yeah, it'd be weird if you didn't.
Are you going to forget?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, no, I forgot doing that for 2 years. It's like, just, it slipped my memory.
In all fairness, it is a YouTube comment, and I don't have high hopes for YouTube comments in general.
Doesn't that really grind your gears, though?
Oh, it does. I added it to a list of, like, tags on my channel where, like, if people do say that anymore, it's like the comment gets deleted. And, I hated that I had to do that, but it's like, it's been like 3 years since I made a video like that. I mean, it ain't coming back.
Yeah.
Here's what you should do. Next time somebody says that, be like, yeah, I'm going to make a new set of compilation cringe videos, and it's just going to be people who comment that.
A compilation of people asking really stupid questions in the comments.
That'd be brilliant.
That's a good idea. Okay.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first on the first podcast.
On the first podcast recording chat right now, Anna is just listing random adjectives for some reason. And if you wanted to tune into that, Joe, how could someone tune into one of these episodes live?
Well, Lars, I'm glad you asked. And that's a really great question.
Thank you.
In order to tune in live, you want to go to discord.t1podcast.com. And in order to find out about when we're recording live, go to t1podcast.com or just go into the announcement section. Really, it's like very multifaceted. There's like a lot of ways to do anything. Like, we're very efficient.
Yeah, you have no excuse. There's plenty of ways to find out about new episodes. We post about them on Twitter. We make announcements. They're on the Audio Boom page. Quit lying, guys.
Go to patreon.com/T1podcast and join our $1,000 tier, and I will show up to your house and tell you when we're recording.
Also, for $1,000 a month, you can, like, specifically request he, like, remains at least 50 feet away at all times.
Oh, by the way, Shay, we...
Yes?
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to let Mr. Amazing know that we normally ask the guests to join our $1,000 tier.
Well, we can forgive it this time. That's fine.
Just joking.
So wait, the reward for $1,000 tier is getting one of you to say 50 feet away from me? Is that what it was?
Well, the reward is either that Joe can show up at your house or Joe can promise to never show up at your house.
Whichever you prefer.
Yeah.
So it's like a mail order bride or a PFA.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or anything in between.
Ooh. I could see you as a nice mail order bride, Joe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Joseph Petunia Rosenblum, as we learned today.
My middle name is Petunia.
Yeah, that was embarrassing to find out.
As Anna points out in the chat, it's not a mail order bride in the traditional sense. It's a mail order bride. Like, spelled the other way, like mail.
Mr. Amazing, what was your last meal? Not like your death row last meal, but just like, what did you last eat?
It's kind of boring. I just had a steak and a salad.
Well, that's not...
But I had a donut afterwards, so that was pretty good.
Steak is bomb as fuck, though. I mean, that's not boring. A steak is never... If steak is boring, that's bad news for the steak.
I mean, but like, it's not like someone mentioned risotto. Like, it certainly isn't some Italian like cuisine like that. It's just, you know, meat and potatoes.
How do you take your steak, though?
Got to be medium rare.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's right.
Not well done?
No.
Not well done. No, not well done. I don't want a hockey puck.
How do you have your salad?
I have my salad bone in. Completely rare.
Ah, I prefer boneless salad myself.
Boneless, skinless salad breast.
No, I get gross. The skin, too.
Someone in the chat just noted, I had a drinkable soup, but I got some news for you. All soup is drinkable.
Except for cereal.
is cereal soup?
Can you make a video essay on that, Mr. Amazing?
I think Vsauce has already got me covered on that one, but I could re-upload it.
Hey, Vsauce. Michael here.
Yeah.
You can just re-upload Vsauce videos if you run out of stuff. That's great.
Yeah, I'd like re-upload it and dub it, and that'll be my face reveal.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, your face reveal is just that you're Vsauce Michael?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is ravioli pie?
Yeah.
No.
Or how does it go? Is pie ravioli?
Yes.
No.
No, no. Ravioli is pie.
Is Pop-Tart ravioli?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Yes.
Maybe.
Duck season.
Can't do it. I can't bring myself.
Okay. Did you ever watch Filthy Frank videos back in the day?
Oh, I had to. I made a whole Filthy Frank compilation back in the day.
Ooh. Oh. Do you... Yeah, do you have an opinion on TV Filthy Frank 2?
Have you heard of this Filthy Frank 2?
You mean Too Damn Filthy?
No, this new guy who's like the regeneration of Filthy Frank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. You know, you can never compete with the original. It's like...
Oh, there's a helicopter coming over my house right now. It's not me you're looking for. It's not me. Hey, now's not a good time. I'm doing my podcast.
It's funny because we actually interviewed that guy, and the guy behind it is super sweet. He'd probably be like, oh, I understand.
Like, literally sweet. Like, we asked him to lick his arm, and he said, ooh, this is sweet.
That's a weird thing to say, Joe. That's really weird. That's bizarre. Not. Yeah.
Thank you. Come back later. I'm recording. All right, they left.
If you closed your windows, Joe, it wouldn't be a problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's all right. Like, I only watched one video of it, and it was in the recommended. But, like, it's you can never recapture the past. You got to do your own thing when you're going forward. It's like, I'm never making those cringe compilations again. It ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
You're saying basically that someone should not make a Mr. Amazing 2?
Essentially.
Okay.
I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I think what he said on the episode was that he made the video as like a fan tribute, and then everybody sort of said, oh, you're the new Filthy Frank, and he just kind of rolled with it. He didn't, from what I remember, he didn't like set out to be the new Filthy Frank. He kind of was like a lot of people were telling him, like, oh, you're the new Filthy Frank.
Well, I mean, oh well.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Just thought we'd ask.
Yeah, I mean, if people asked for it, I guess that's kind of different, but if people asked me to bring back the cringe compilations, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. I feel like there's just like a natural thing. I'm going to make an assumption here that you're not super pleased with the fact that you did those back in the day?
No. I regret it entirely, actually.
Uh-huh. That's a product of its time. It's weird how those kinds of videos have gone, like, completely out of fashion. It's like they used to be so popular, but now, today, it's like, if you hear about a cringe compilation, you kind of cringe because you're just like, oh, yikes. I wonder why that is.
I like the idea of cringe compilations, but when I'm watching a cringe compilation, it makes me say, I'm cringing.
Right. And that's what I was going for, essentially. And I regret that I went for that.
I can see that. Making people cringe?
Yes.
But can't it be kind of cathartic? Like, you're taking the cringe and putting it outside of yourself?
I mean, it can be. Like, if you're watching a kid, like, fail at dancing on stage or something. But it's, like, different when it's, you know, just making fun of somebody, you know.
Ugh. Mm-hmm.
Is there any direction that you're moving in the direction of? Like, are you going in any
weird. You're just like, is there any direction at all? That you're kind of making fun of the guest.
No. All right, so here's my thought. You probably don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about cringe compilations because where are you headed in the future?
Well, the idea essentially in the future is, I really don't know. But what I really would like to do is like some kind of personal development, like Matt Diavella type stuff, you know, just like showing people how to, you know, put on their clothing and like clean the room, you know, that kind of thing. Mm.
Oh, there's already a guy who does that called How To Basic, though.
Oh, I was thinking like Jordan Peterson, but yeah, How To Basic does that too. With eggs.
Guys, if you've never heard of How To Basic, you should go ahead and look him up. He does really useful tutorials on like how to make food, how to just, you know, take good care of yourself, how to go shopping and stuff. Just look it up. How To Basic. Thank you.
What if you did really useful videos about things that people are interested in, like How To Basic? But you're giving them bad information.
See, I thought about that. Like, thought about like doing an editing video where I just don't even edit, but that would kind of like ruin my reputation.
Yeah.
And then I would be known as the guy who can't edit.
Tell people like, here's how you clean your room. First you vacuum and then you pick the stuff up off the ground and then you vacuum again the areas that you weren't able to reach. And then you take a break. And then that's it.
That'd just be Mr. Stupid. It wouldn't be on brand.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I guess the amazing thing could be how amazing it isn't.
To not be Mr. Amazing.
Yes, yes.
By the way, Joe.
Yeah. What's up?
You know how listeners can be amazing?
Did you say custard?
No. God damn it. Let me start over. All right. You know how fans of our show can be amazing?
How?
They can check out mint.t1podcast.com.
Mint.t1podcast.com? Well, gee whiz, Lars, what's that?
Okay, I guess this is the 1920s with our lingo now. Mint.t1podcast.com will take you to our affiliate link for Mint Mobile, a cell phone service that I use myself, so we're not soullessly just going to shill it. I'm going to speak from a place of experience.
Hey, Shay, you use a cell phone, right?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 2019. What do you think? This is like the 1950s?
I like how he said, like, Shay, you use a phone yourself. And he's like, who, me? Like, as opposed to the other Shay.
I thought he said Say. Like,
oh, okay.
Say, hey, Lars, you use a phone. We all use a phone.
Yeah, we do. And I highly recommend people in America check out Mint Mobile, if so, because the plans start at $15 a month and they use T-Mobile servers. So it's like, it's ridiculously affordable. The Mac Daddy package is $38 a month, and I think it comes with 20 gigabytes of data, so it's like you're not going to run out.
With Verizon, that's like $1,000 a month.
Exactly. If you want to save $1,000 a month, or maybe a little bit less, but
$963 or whatever. Yeah.
You should check out mint.t1podcast.com and tell them we sent you for ridiculously affordable cell phone service that I use myself, and I used them before they were a sponsor. mint.t1podcast.com.
What's that link again, Mr. Amazing?
mint.t1podcast.com.
That was done very well, Mr. Amazing. I appreciated that. That was a very broadcasty way to say that. Thank you.
You know what? I thought I'm here. I'm, you know, ready and raring to go. And I thought, why not give you guys a little voice action?
Can you go ahead and say something for us real quick?
And what would you like me to say?
That was plenty. Thank you.
That was it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Anyway, Mr. Amazing, what's something that you wish people would ask you about? What's like a passion or a hobby of yours that you're always dying to talk about, but no one ever really brings up?
Ooh, a lot of things I could say, but I'm going to go with like music production.
Okay.
Because it's something I do in my spare time. Like, I don't actually do music production, but like, I like to play the piano and I put stuff online sometimes, but not many people know about it.
Yeah, pretty clear from the home resonance video.
Yeah. I hate to say it's always about the editing, because it's not always about the editing, but then it's almost always about the editing.
Yeah.
How did you get into that?
Which thing, the editing or the piano?
The music production.
Well, I just started taking lessons a few years ago, and I just got really into it, and I wanted to keep doing it, and so I did.
So, like, piano lessons?
Yeah.
Or, like...
Yeah. So, it started off with, like, Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know, the basics, like, Bach's Fifth Invention, shit like that.
And now you're, like, the next Beethoven, just about.
Little bit. Some might say. Some might say Mozart, maybe Chopin. It's debatable.
Oh, I think you can name a little higher than that.
Are you going to do any more of those videos that are kind of like dissect a song? Because I really appreciated that one on the Resonance by Home.
I thought about it, and I tried to do another one on Tyler. What was the one I picked? See You Again. And that one did pretty well, too. But it's like, it's gotten harder because, I mean, you can only dissect a song in so many different ways without, like, you know, going into some obscure niche thing that the person who made it did. Or else it just gets repetitive. So, I don't know.
Okay. Is there an overarching theme to what you're trying to do with this, or is it just whatever you feel like talking about?
It's whatever I feel like talking about for the most part. Like, I try to do stuff that's meaningful for people. Like, that sounds kind of pretentious a little bit, but I don't know. I want people to take away something from the video that, like, makes them think a little bit differently. So, like, that's why I also didn't, like, try to do just that type of video over and over again.
I don't think that sounds pretentious. I think that sounds very normal.
You never know. When I see people just doing gaming videos and that's like what they do and it's like the same thing again and again, you know, I don't know.
I think it depends on the content creator and it really depends on what they're able to do with it. I don't know. Like I always like to tune into Dunkey, even though that's pretty much just all gaming videos.
That's true. But then he intersperses it with like commentary type stuff and then he will... bring in other information that's sometimes research-based, too.
What do you guys think of Anything for Views?
I like his chemistry with other people. I'll say that.
Yeah. I like what he does with other people. Gonna reserve mentioning my opinion on him himself.
I haven't seen much of his stuff, but I like his Tinder date streams.
It's very... I mean, it's exactly what he's described in his username, Anything for Views. It's
yeah,
it's challenging content at times.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
it's hard for me to watch just because sometimes it gets kind of gross and I don't know. I mean, he's a hardworking guy. That's I can't deny that. You know, he's trying. I'm not sure I like what he's trying to do.
He's done a lot of stuff with Max Mofo. Which is kind of cool.
Oh, Max Mofo Pokemon, you mean?
That's right.
Yeah.
It was him and Filthy Frank back in the day, too. And that's what I was kind of referring to.
Those were good.
Yeah, exactly. I like what he does with other people. I guess that's never going to happen again with Filthy Frank, though. So, bummer.
I mean, I've never seen a stream, so I can't comment on that. But, yeah, that's the most I could really talk about.
I just saw a compilation video of his Tinder streams.
Okay.
It's just him asking girls, like, have you ever done anal? Stuff like that.
Oh, that's really awkward.
He does that on Tinder?
Yeah.
What a guy.
What a guy. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
So, have you ever...
You going somewhere with this show? Or?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, I have.
Yeah, he has at some point, at least.
Sorry, I'm really drunk.
Really?
On what?
Are you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay.
Before this episode, Lars tells me, hey, Joe, you should pretend to be really drunk on the episode. And I said, no, Lars, I could never do that. It would, you know, be unprofessional. And he says,
no, you said maybe.
Do it, you know, as a gag. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, pretend to be drunk. So that's just what I've done.
Turned out not to be that funny of a gag.
You didn't make it last long enough. You had me believe you got insta-drunk?
All right. Let me do that again. Hey, guys, okay. I'm drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
What you been drinking?
No, I could never lie to you guys.
Okay.
You play any farming simulators ever? Like Farmville?
I've
You
played...
said he doesn't play many games.
I know, but
I've done like flight simulators.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the Microsoft one or the
The Microsoft one.
Oh, speaking of Microsoft Flight Simulator, there's a new Microsoft Flight Simulator.
This there like, is? What, the VR?
Yeah, they just announced it at E3. There's like a new one coming out. I imagine it's pretty fucking realistic now. Like, I imagine it'd be a lot of fun to play.
I imagine it wouldn't be as fun if, like, the plane failed and you were, like, falling.
I've got a radio-controlled airplane in my garage, like a real one, and every time I fly it, just about, I crash it, and then I have to go to the toy store.
Joe, if you took it out of your garage and out into the world, like, it probably, like, wouldn't crash as much.
Ha ha ha. No, but every time I fly it, I crash it, and then I have to fix it, and it's getting expensive, and it's an expensive hobby.
So maybe you should invest in the simulator instead.
I play the simulator. I don't know. Maybe. I like crashing it, too. That's the thing.
Oh, you enjoy the chaos.
Well, I don't do it on purpose, but sometimes I'll, like, crash it, and then, like, the wing will get fucked up, and then I'll be like, oh, I still want to fly it, though. I'm just going to try to fly it. I'm just going to lean to the left. I could probably do it. And it just crashes again. And I don't like that I'm crashing it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, but look at it go down.
So you're, like, one of those men who likes to watch the world burn.
Basically, yeah.
Did you say watch the world turn?
Could have.
All right, rewind.
You're like one of those men who likes to watch the world turn.
Oh, I guess that is what you said.
Oh, we should do that gag, but do it like straightforward this time where it's not a gag.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Oh, yeah, we have a rewind gag on the show, and it's a whole thing. I'll edit this out, but yeah.
How does it go?
Well, basically what we do is like Joe or I will misinterpret what someone says on purpose, and then we'll pretend to rewind the show in the editing room, like I'll set it up that way. But the joke is that it's just like some non sequitur clip that plays instead, and it's never actually like useful information. Oh, so we were going to subvert it this time.
All right,
Mr. Amazing, what are some content creators that you particularly enjoy?
That's an interesting question.
Thank you.
I got recently turned on to this Chinese channel that just like, it's this woman who has her own garden in like rural China, and there's nobody else around but like her and her grandmother. And she is just like cutting up bok choy and shit. And you just watch her do that. And it's like really comfy and like aesthetic. And there's like a Kodo in the background. So it's like, you're like in medieval China with her. It's pretty dope.
Can you send us a link to that? I want to watch that. Like not now, but like later.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be sick.
Let's stop doing the episode. Let's go watch that.
All right, everyone. We'll be back in like 6 hours.
Yeah. Bye.
6 hours later.
Anyway, so you're on the East Coast?
Yeah. Yeah.
The East Coast of what? That wasn't very specific.
Of the United States.
Okay.
No, I'm actually on the east coast of the Earth.
Oh, you're a flat earther.
It is flat. Actually, the Earth is like a donut.
I mean, I was going to say like, it's more like a cube. And so like, I'm on the east of that cube.
Oh, the east face.
Yeah.
I'm on the north face.
Pretty much.
Oh, have you guys heard of Time Cube?
I have.
Oh, man. Joe, have you heard of that?
No.
Guys, if you're listening, go ahead and pause the episode real quick and pull out your phone. Especially if you're driving, you're going to want to pay close attention to your phone. Go and look up TimeCube. It's very strange. I don't even know how to put it. It's this guy who thinks that time is like, there's like four times. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just weird internet content.
I'm actually an expert on that.
Oh, okay.
It's like, isn't it like he thinks there's like, four concurrent realities or something.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's like some schizophrenic stuff. It's cool, though.
Let's take a look.
It's very interesting. It's, Joe, you should check out the Down the Rabbit Hole video that Frederick Knudsen did on it, if you haven't heard of it.
You guys ever think of having him on? He'd be a pretty cool guest.
Frederick Knudsen? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to. I just, there's like a million content creators that we want to have on. Obviously, you know, our first choice was Mr. Amazing, but...
Of course.
This is our capstone... episode. After this, we could stop doing the show.
It's kind of going to be all downhill from here.
I mean...
Well, that's why we have to go out with a bang.
Yeah.
What can I say? They don't call me Mr. Amazing for nothing.
Yeah, exactly. They don't call you Mr. Mediocre.
Do you ever say that to your friends after you tell a funny joke and everyone laughs?
He says that after every funny joke, Joe. Every joke he does. Yeah.
But it's because people in the comment section have said that. And so it's like an in joke with some of my friends.
Oh, okay. What's that like, by the way, having friends?
I mean, it's all right. I mean, if I had to give it a Yelp review, I'd say 2 stars. I think, you know, there are other places to go when you need things to do. And then again, there are also better TV shows to watch, but, you know.
Yeah.
Let's exfoliate this a bit. When exfoliate? You hang out with... Yeah, like to remove the dirt, like on this of a situation.
That's not the word.
Anyway, so when you're hanging out with your friends, you're like in person, and what, are you guys standing in a semicircle, straight line?
Oh, Joe's never had a friend before. He's really curious, I think.
It, like, what's going on while you're... What is friendship?
Well, I mean, usually we all stand in, like, a pentagram, and we have, like, these stone slabs in the middle of us, and sometimes we'll, like, paint blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what my friends do. I mean, I can't speak for anybody else, though.
You ever accidentally summon Lord Volcanus?
Oh, no. I mean, like, that's what we do. It's not on accident.
Oh, that's the point. Okay, I got it.
Yeah. So, no. So you've never accidentally summoned
Lord it's always Volcanus. On purpose. Okay.
Right, right.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Makes
Is
sense.
It true that if you say Lars and Joe 3 times while you're staring in the mirror, we'll show up behind you?
Yeah, Joe shows up and screams real loud into your asshole. That's what happens. Yeah. Let's talk about NordVPN.
Is it just me, or is the internet sort of like an asshole?
It kind of is in 2019. It kind of sucks.
Yeah, you kind of need to do something to protect yourself from all the shit.
The government's trying to track you.
Your next door neighbor's trying to hack into your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, the local Wi-Fi Starbucks is kind of sketch. Your internet service provider's trying to throttle you for using like 2 gigabytes of data.
Why can't I watch The Office in French?
Yeah, these are all really good consumer pain points in 2019. And a good way to get around that is NordVPN. NordVPN costs you, what is it, $3 a month now for the cheapest package?
75% off for the cheapest
75% package. Off if you use our coupon code for that by going to nord.t1podcast.com and entering the code... Mr. Amazing, what's the name of this podcast?
The First Podcast.
Are you sure?
Yes, that's also the checkout code at checkout. Yes, of course you're sure.
Yeah. That is right.
Checkout code at checkout, The First Podcast, for 75% off NordVPN. You need a VPN in 2019, and we recommend NordVPN.
Nord.t1podcast.com.
And that's it for the ads. So let's move on.
For the rest of the episode.
Mr. Amazing, I have to ask this because everyone has a fucking podcast now. Are you a podcaster?
I've thought about it. Like, I do streams. Of course you've thought about it. I try to do them once a week on my channel, but it's just like casual, like talking to people with some of my friends, and that's about it. I used to do like Photoshop streams where I just do like graphic design stuff, but I stopped doing that a long while ago.
Okay. The chat notes, by the way, that the next 30 minutes of the podcast are ad-free, and you can tune in and chat with them as well at discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com.
Isn't that an ad? Like, an ad for you guys?
Kinda, yeah. I mean, I feel like it's okay for us to advertise our own show.
But we did say no more ads. Well, okay. No more sponsored ads.
Okay. Well, there will be one more technical ad for the Patreon at some point, but we'll... That'll do for the rest of it.
Your own sponsor, like, are you being sponsored?
You're blowing my mind, dude. Wow. Yes. Oh, question, by the way.
I guess this not.
Here's a hypothetical question. Okay, so let's say that you meet yourself in an alternate dimension. And let's say it's possible. And it turns out that you two decide to have sex. Is that masturbation?
Let's see. I think, given that these are people with, like... Well, so the real question is, how am I going to be in the same room with this person at the same time? Like, do they have the same atoms as me?
Oh, I thought you meant, like, how am I going to do that because I wouldn't like myself? No. Okay.
Different atoms, same molecular structure.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And you have the same quirks.
Then that's masturbation, hands down. Well, it's masturbation. Yeah, hands literally down.
Okay.
Hands down, feet up.
Oh, the chat's noting that we should consider this in the Spider-Verse rules. Well, yeah, because then you'd be different, though, at that point, because there's different iterations of Spider-Man. But the thing here is that you're molecularly identical.
Exactly. But the question is it any different from purely self-masturbation? Because, like, if you got two separate people, something's going somewhere, and somebody's given the something. So,
that's
like,
true.
Still open-ended.
I feel like it's different somehow. I feel like it's not quite the same as, like, regular masturbation. Qualitatively, there's something that changes, but I don't know what it is. Because it's technically still you on you.
Well, there's another person there. That's what
No,
changes.
There's not. It's just you. Right.
Well, but there's another body.
And also different thoughts. Like, they're thinking two separate things at the same time.
Now we're adding thoughts to the equation?
Well, I mean, if somebody's given it and somebody's taken it, you know, they're having two different thoughts about what's going on right there.
I'm sorry, do you mean thoughts as in, like...
No, he doesn't mean prostitutes, Joe. He means like...
A thought doesn't have to be a prostitute. A thought could just be, like, a thirsty girl.
Like, oh, that hoes taxes. Yeah.
Like that.
Joe, I think you should probably, like, ask a final question or two.
Sure.
Was this about it already? Like,
oh, no. I just assumed that the questions would occupy, you know, 10, 15-minute blocks.
Oh, okay.
Well, what would be your useless superpower?
Oh, good question.
See, that's tough because if it's useless, that implies that, like, nothing has really changed. So it's like, you don't notice it.
Practically useless. They can be marginally helpful in some kind of meaningless way.
Mm.
Like the ability to seduce hats.
I think, you know what I'd do? You know what I'd do? I would have the ability to manifest Chick-fil-A nuggets in my hands.
That's super useful, though.
Yeah, if you're hungry, you get to eat them.
Damn, okay.
Or do you not like them?
I do. I like them a lot.
So how is that useless?
Because I can't eat them then. That's the only
You've
thing.
Solved hunger for the rest. Oh, you're physically incapable of eating them.
Right. Because it'd be like eating myself. So it'd be like, what is that? Like mad cow disease or something.
Wait.
Okay.
Wait, the nuggets like are a part of your hand?
I mean, I can rip them off and then I'll probably like rip some of my skin off too.
Oh,
and
gross. You know. Oh, see, they kind of like just grow off like a tumor is what you're saying. Not that they just like show up in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
How long does it take to grow from non-noticeable to fully matured chicken nugget?
I think that will depend on the type of nutrients I'm consuming on the given day. If I'm eating a lot of vitamin B12, we're talking like a 10 to 15 minute time span. If we're talking iron.
That fast.
Yes. That'd be so gross to watch.
You could do a time-lapse video on that. That's more useful than I thought initially because you can make YouTube videos about that.
Right, I can make a video essay about it.
Yeah, but sure. no one would ever want to touch you.
It's a lot like this idea I had for a useless superpower when we first started doing the segment, where you can have any condiment that you want, like on a whim, and it just comes out of your penis.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's like, what are you going to do? Like, have ketchup like that came out of your penis? Or, like, your friend's like, oh, I wish we had ketchup, but...
wish we had more mayo. And you're just like, okay.
And then you just have to be like, oh, no, I can get you some. I can do any condiment at all. And they're like, unzipped no, I don't pants. Want it. And you're like, yeah, come on. And yeah, it's fine. It's good for you.
To anyone listening to this episode on their lunch or breakfast hours, I apologize.
This was not what I was expecting, I have to say.
Oh, what Sorry. Were you expecting? Just out that. Of curiosity.
Definitely not the prospect of, you know, ketchup in a urethra, you know?
Yeah, you're telling me.
Joe, you brought it up.
And I'm just as shocked and appalled as both of you guys. But we could take the segment out. Do you want us to take out the segment?
I don't care. I mean,
well, if you want
make
us to,
it
we can.
So I don't
get out. Just let us know.
Like, look weird.
Oh, I think you come off very well. I think Joe is the one who comes off very strange in that one.
Okay. You know, whatever. Yeah.
Anyway, I think my useless superpower would be the ability to make really, really good content of some sort that no one is ever interested in watching. Like, it's just like super genius stuff that no one gives a shit about.
that it definitely is more useless than the chicken nuggets. Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Thank you.
Maybe my useless superpower would be chronic pain.
Oh.
I can increase my level of chronic pain, but never decrease it. For the rest of my life.
So basically, it's just the power for your life to go worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The power to, like, die sooner.
Or at least be miserable.
What was that one that one of our fans put in the Useless Superpowers one channel?
Do you remember who did it?
Someone suggested the power of gastronecromancy, where every animal product you eat suddenly comes back to life. They said, imagine eating a bag of beef jerky and now it's all squirmy in your mouth. Jesus, dude.
Oh my god.
That was one of our new members, by the way, too. He's still a white name on here, so Jesus.
So, like, if you ate cheese, like, are you getting, like, what does that happen? Like, you get the udder in your mouth then, or...
No, you just get curds. Like a horrified, like mutilated cow that's like begging for you to kill it at the end.
Oh my god!
Thank you to Benton Emore or whatever.
Benton,
I don't know how to pronounce that. I apologize for that. Name starts with B. I'll just put it that way.
Benton Emore.
Guys, right. If you want to contribute more useless superpowers, you can go to #useless-superpowers on our Discord at discord.t1podcast.com.
We have a an artificial intelligence engine that we sometimes use to generate like hypothetical questions or whatever. And one time I fed it like four different useless superpowers, and then it gave us a few back. And the last one that it gave us was really funny. It's like the power to have your dog change its personality to always disagree with you or something like that.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I guess, like, your dog's somehow able to disagree with you, and so your power is to have a dog that is always I'm going to try to find the wording. It was something like that. Like, it has the ability to always disagree with you.
But coming prepared, Joe.
Let me find it. I feel like that was pretty good. Not bad. Let's take a look. Oh, I got it. So the ones that I gave it were the ability to speak to dirt, the power that allows you to forget your name, everyone around you hates you, several times a day a bird shits on your phone. And so I fed that into the machine learning AI engine, and it popped back with, you're constantly looking at your reflection in a mirror. Your favorite song changes its lyrics for no reason. The most beautiful person you've ever seen in your entire life has just passed away.
Jesus.
And then the final one, which I think was the most funny, is your dog takes on different personalities in order to prove you wrong.
What's interesting is that that's actually a computer model that did that. That was entirely artificially created. Like, it just took some of Joe's suggestions and pooped some new ones out.
Do you guys have, like, access to that privately, or is it, like, a website?
It's a website. It's just go to talktotransformer.com.
Huh. You guys seen the stuff that, like, NVIDIA is doing with their, like, machine learning stuff?
Yeah, I think, like, vaguely. Do you have anything in particular?
Yeah, like, I saw this video a couple weeks back. It's like, you can, like, do some crude, like, fifth grade level MS Paint, like, terrible art, and it'll just turn it into a picture, and it's, like, auto-generated completely.
Okay, do you have a link to that?
Yeah, let me find it. Here. So even in the thumbnail, you can see, like, the dude is literally, he's got, like, just green and blue, and it's on the, right-hand side. Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. And then it creates the backdrop. So how does it work? It blue means water, green means grass or something, or
right, I guess. Like, the really absurd thing was, like, you could also paint in, like, reflections and shit, and if you changed, like, the way the brick was on the top, it would automatically change the reflection.
That's pretty cool. Hey, what do you think of these deep fake videos?
Pretty scary, huh?
Yeah, I would say I'm a fan too, but the implications are terrifying.
I think somebody at my school ended up making a... No, this was a joke at my university last semester. there's like, you know, how at, you know, groups of people have like, I guess guys in particular have like certain girls that they'll all like, you know, joke about. So we had this one particular person. We were like, somebody needs to make a deep fake of her doing such and such. And it was like, oh my God.
Did they?
No, I mean, nobody did it, but like somebody could have. It's still on the radar.
I hear that the technology is getting to the point now where they just need like a single photo of you and they can make like your face talk with technology now.
Yeah. You ever seen the YouTube channel 2 Minute Papers?
No, one of our fans is a huge fan of them, but I haven't checked them out yet.
Yeah, they put out a video on that, like, I want to say last week, and it's exactly what you just said.
Okay, we'll go ahead and give
that a check
out.
Someone of the Mona Lisa talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so weird. Crazy. I'm, like, scared, but also really excited for where this is going.
I like what some of the news outlets are saying, like, they're going to have some kind of also, like, machine learning algorithm to detect whether this is, like, an auto-generated thing or not. So hopefully that'll keep it in check. But
like and mouse game, though. Isn't that just going to make the deep fakes get better?
Right. Yeah.
Yep. That's going to be the struggle, I think.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something the other day where apparently there's also a way using machine learning to tell if something has been Photoshopped. Yeah. Like not with you just like detecting it with your eye. Like you can actually notice from like a certain amount of photos on that you feed it that it'll show what looks unnatural and not. So there are ways to do it either way.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Joe.
Obviously, the scary part is like somebody, you know, somebody makes a deep fake of the president going to war, and now it, like nobody knows if we really went to war or not. But what are some of the benefits besides pornography of deep fakes? What are some of the other exciting avenues for that? What do you guys think?
The thing that I thought would be really cool is like we're going to be able to have movies with like dead actors in them again. And it's like that's going to be just bizarre to see like Clark Gable or, you know, who's the other one? Like Charlie Chaplin on the screen again.
The other dead actor? Like there's only two?
who's that other one? That other dead actor?
No,
Gene Wilder.
I'm not sure if I like that, though. Like, is that ethical?
Well,
Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan's still alive, isn't he?
Isn't he? Yeah, he is.
He's not in movies.
He's still alive.
I mean, I guess the ethical question is, like, who owns the image of that person then, which...
Yeah.
If we get movies, do we really care? Who's to say?
Oh, here's the interesting thing, though. What if you were an actor and you had an option where, like, a studio could pay you, like, $500 million for the rights to your digital likeness when you die or something, where you get, like, a huge reward for that ability? I think there are financial incentives that can make that attractive.
I think there's a movie like that. I forget what it's called, but it's, like, exactly that premise.
Oh, Kung Fu Panda 2? Yeah, I really like that movie.
Hey, guys. Picture this scenario. I want to paint a picture where if it's longer, let's say historical figures, more than 500 years ago or more than 300 years ago, anyone can use the likeness. It was too long ago to charge. So you've got the shroud of Jesus and we find out what he looked like or DNA. And this. But then you have somebody using the likeness of actual Jesus to just do like a silly, like romantic comedy. Or something like an Adam Sandler movie that has the actual Jesus in it or something. Like imagine 50 First Dates, but it with Jesus instead of Adam Sandler. And he says,
that's a new sentence, Joe. I don't think anyone's ever said that before. Imagine 50 idea. First Dates with Jesus.
Wait, you guys get the idea. Wouldn't that be funny?
I'd pay to see it.
Yeah, me too.
I'd pay to see a lot of movies like Jesus as the main character instead.
Yeah, especially doing just something silly.
And then Donald Trump is the side character.
Jesus with Donald Trump as like the wacky like sidekick that
would be a bestseller in the South.
Jesus and Donald Trump save Texas or something.
Oh, by the way, speaking of Donald Trump, I'm sure you get this a lot, but I really liked your very fair and balanced video on him. It was,
I like that too.
Yeah, it was nice and quick. It didn't inject too much like real opinion at all. I liked it. Yeah.
Thanks. I mean, that's what I was trying to do for that. Like, I think at the end, I still kind of like was like, oh, but let's see if he goes through with it, because he's kind of done a lot of shady business deals and
kind of
a scummy guy. But it's like, it's,
which is just a fact also.
Right. It's like low key.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just instructing one of our server members that he can actually listen in, because I noticed he's been on the text chat, recording chat, but not actually tuning in himself. And I think he's someone from your server, Berserk.
Oh.
Oh, well.
Maybe?
You can lead a horse to water. You can't make him drink.
Indeed.
We had, what was the episode we were doing with that guy, Arctic Freeze or whatever? This is a really funny story. I want to tell it. But we were recording with somebody, and this guy, Arctic Freeze or something, is listening in on the recording, and he didn't know that it was a podcast server. He thought it was a server just for the discussion of that one guest. And
oh,
so,
yeah, he came in during when we recorded with the creator of Elder Scrolls, Vijay Lakshman, and he thought that this server, for some reason, was devoted entirely to the discussion of that episode. Like, he didn't understand that we would have future recordings and stuff. So every time we ping the server, like, oh, hey, guys, get ready, he'd get, like, really mad, and he'd be like,
really pissed off.
Guys, stop pinging me for this. And we kept explaining to him, like, dude, we run a podcast on here, and he was just like, he just couldn't comprehend it.
He did not know. He could not understand that there were more episodes besides that one episode. He thought the whole point of the server was that one episode.
I have met some very strange characters on Discord, and that was definitely one of them.
I mean, there were a bunch of guys. Like, I initially had a server that was public to everybody, like back in the day. This was like 2 years ago. And then last year I deleted it and tried to make it, you know, patron only, because like, the caliber of person there was not exactly cut from the finest cloth, to say.
What kind of problems were you running into?
We'd have people like every now and then posting like very like SFW content, and there was one period of time where there was a girl in here and there was a guy, and they would just get in the voice chat and they would just sit in there all day, and other people would eventually join and they would just be like playing Minecraft with each other in this public voice chat in my server, and it was just so bizarre. Like, why didn't they have their own private call? I don't know.
That's funny.
It's kind of nice, but I can kind of see why that would be annoying.
Yeah.
So they're bogarting it.
I'm not familiar with that term.
Me neither. Go ahead and enlighten us on that one, Joe. Go ahead and exfoliate.
They're hogging it. They're hogging it for themselves.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's off topic, so yeah, I understand why that could be frustrating, especially if, like, you're trying to promote the voice chats as, like, related to your content.
Right, right. And it was also, like, people would go in there and they'd be, like, low-key flirting with each other, and it was just like, oh, this is not the place for that. Please take it to your DMs. Do not do that here. And so, you know, had to ban him eventually. Yeah. Get the boot.
Yeah. By the way, I was watching the video that you did about YouTube and the history of YouTube or something, and it was really nostalgic. Like, the first, like, intro clip where it's the classic YouTube experience, the intro clips where it's, like, just a couple seconds of each of those videos. I remember seeing each of those for the first time, like, when they were new, just these videos, and at the time, that's what we had as internet culture, and it, you know, It was just because we've had on a lot of people that say Lars and I are really, really old because we didn't, you know, we weren't born into YouTube culture or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember when the Day at the Zoo video or whatever it was came out.
You remember when that came out?
Yeah.
Shoot. Yeah, I don't remember that. I'm not that much of a geezer.
Well, we're not that old either. Like, Joe's 27, I'm 30. Like that's we grew up with it in high school. Like, it wasn't, we're not like old men. I guess. I mean, technically, maybe we are.
10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in 10 years.
How old are you, but if you don't mind us asking?
Oh, no, it's fine. I'm 19.
Yeah, I guess there is a difference between, like, we weren't introduced to YouTube until, like, high school versus if, you know, like, for you, it was, like, elementary school. Like, you were basically, you grew up with YouTube.
Yeah.
So it's slightly different. We remember when those really, really old ones came out, like Tra-La-La.
I remember when Gangnam Style first came out. I remember the day of that.
I remember when Rickrolling was like a brand new thing, and then it got old really fast. But I remember like the first time somebody showed that to me, and I was like, oh, that's kind of a catchy
on
video.
The other hand,
and then
though,
the second time,
I kind of enjoy being able to Rickroll people today. Like just seeing how far out it can actually go where someone can still get Rickrolled. I think that's amusing.
It kind of went away for a few years and came back.
Yeah.
Did it really come back? I cannot say I remember it ever coming back. Like, was this like, do you mean like it came back in like 2010?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it was like, yeah, we're talking about a while ago at that point.
So people Rickrolled each other a lot in like the mid, like, I'd say like 2007, 2008, 2009 was like when it first had its phase one of Rickrolling. And then it went away for a while, and now people are Rickrolling each other again. But I think like between like 20, I don't know, I didn't see a lot of Rickrolling between like, let's say 2012 and like 2016 or something, if I had
to
guess.
It's not that much anymore. It's just like once in a while people will do it now because it's so old that it's interesting again. But and it's not like a ton of people doing it.
Right.
But
I guess you could compare it to like the people that are bringing back the old style, like, YouTube templates, or not YouTube, like meme templates. Like there's this one meme page I follow on Twitter where like they sync up the Playboy Cardi lyrics in I think one of Tyler's songs, like up to just some random stock image. Like the one is like they trying to be Craig.
Mm-hmm.
And they just use the old like Impact, you know.
Yeah. The chat is asking if memes can come back into style.
Oh yeah. And I think what I just described is like that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you technically already answered that. Thank you for contributing, Tej, anyway.
Well, I think that Lars and I have spoke enough about how old we are and how the world is a scary place now.
You think loss is eternal?
No.
We should just end the episode there. No, but we have to plug our stuff.
Oh, the chat is mentioning Ray William Johnson as being number one. That is an era that I do not miss whatsoever. Your Freds, your Smoshes,
your annoying oranges.
A lot of YouTube has gotten worse, but a lot of YouTube has gotten way better as well.
You didn't used to have to be very good to get really famous.
You really didn't. Like you
well,
could just
now you have to.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say it just like. Well, the one thing I was going to say is, like, it amazes me how, like, Shane Dawson is, like, the only person from that group of people that is, like, still even remotely relevant. Like, the Annoying Orange is still out here, but, like, irrelevant. And, like, Fred and then Ray William, like, dead channels, absolutely. But what I was going to say also was, like, I think the reason is partly answering what you guys just said. Like, Shane kind of, like, reinvented himself and did something that's, like, really, really different now.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Whereas anybody could do what Ray William Johnson did, and they do.
So they do,
like
yeah.
The marketplace of like all these videos coming at about the same time is just like it's harder to, you know, become the cream of the crop.
Yeah. I think channels like Smosh are all some of them are still super relevant. It's just that the relevance is more with kids now. Like
that's
I used
true.
To watch
yeah.
a lot of Smosh back then, and now what they're doing is it's like a whole production team that does like a lot of like goofy videos together. And it's still super popular. It's just not with my age bracket and not with your age bracket either. Like people who are like 12 will get into that.
Right. And I guess the same is true of the Annoying Orange. Because I mean that, like I said, still going. Just
I hate everything about the Annoying Orange.
Yeah. The Annoying Orange was basically just boomers sharing it in emails because it was. That was it.
I think the Annoying Orange might be my least favorite YouTube channel.
I can see where you're coming from. I can see where you're coming from.
Well, at least of that kind of content, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, I might dislike Ricegum more for different reasons. But just in terms of, like, trying to be funny, haha kind of stuff, It's just the entire concept of it just, well, it's just really annoying. And I guess that's what they're going for. So whatever. He makes thousands of dollars a year on it. So whatever.
See, for me, it's got to be guava juice.
Dozens of dollars.
By far.
Yeah.
Guava juice?
Yeah. Absolute trash.
Are you talking about the drink?
No, the guy.
On
YouTube. Like, you never heard of him?
No, I have. I was just poor attempt at a joke. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I ruined that.
That's fine. No, I kind of ruined it myself by bringing it up. Go ahead.
So what I was going to say is, like, he has that, like, same caliber of comedy as The Annoying Orange, but then it's, like, even shittier. Because, like, he's making no attempt to do anything remotely creative with it.
Well, neither is The Annoying Orange, but, I guess.
What about,
I don't know. The Annoying Orange is, like, After Effects graphics a little bit, and it's, like, at least they're trying.
Yeah.
Shane Carl was one of my favorites. I thought that guy was hilarious and just very wholesome and funny.
Well,
Shane Carl. Apparently, there were a couple of controversies, though.
Sounds like it.
But he made like $50 million off of selling the station.
Did he?
Did you hear about that? Yeah. He made like $50 million.
Apparently, he cheated on his wife.
We shouldn't. That would be another good place for us to end the episode.
That was a weird silence. Like, I don't know. Okay.
Well, I don't want to. I mean, I don't know enough about that to speak on it. Like, as far as I know, maybe he did, but I just don't want to think of him that way. I want to think of him as,
well, that's just willful good, ignorance, Joe. That's good. Blinding yourself.
I want him to be good, Jay Carl.
Oh, okay.
In my mind. Plus, I don't know enough about that.
That's a problem for a lot of YouTubers, apparently, where, like, Dr. Disrespect cheated on his wife, and Pro Jared cheated on his wife, and Shay Carl cheated on his wife. It's, like, a requisite now for being a YouTuber, so you have to cheat on your wife.
Well, what really gets me is, like, this is stuff that goes on behind most people's closed doors, but for these types of people now, the doors are no longer closed. And, of course, that doesn't make it any better, but it's, like,
right,
you know, cheating on your wife is as old as time itself. You know?
Of course, yeah. So it's human, basically.
Right, right. As old as wives. We were made for, you know, the beginning of human history.
That's true.
That's true, true.
They say 1 out of 25 fathers are raising somebody that's not their real son. Or 1 out of 25 kids, it's not the real father. You know what I mean? Something like, it's one of those statistics.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah.
So 4%?
Something like that, yeah.
It seems to me like it'd be a lot higher than that.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, if you look into the numbers of people who cheat, it's, like, 50%.
But what's the number of people that cheat without getting caught?
That's a good question, and it's impossible to know.
What's the number of people who cheat and get pregnant?
But then they get caught, and then the other...
No, if there's a woman who cheats and gets pregnant while they were trying to get pregnant with the father, and let's say she has a type, and the type is what the father looks like, and the guy she's cheating on, they look similar... then he might never know.
See, but then I question, why did she cheat to begin with? What, was the initial guy just not doing it for you anymore? You had to get his clone?
Yeah. The romance was dead.
I mean, there's a variety of possible reasons, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the number one reason why people cheat is because they grow apart. There's some problem with the relationship, and it results in a distance between the two of them, and so they need to look outside of the relationship for, like, gratification and whatnot.
I remember reading something about how, like, the female body is, like, more receptive to getting pregnant if it's, like, during that time of the month and they're being unfaithful. I feel like, there's something in there, apparently, where...
Yeah.
It's really weird, but, like, yeah, you're more likely to get pregnant if you're cheating.
Maybe it signals to the body that she's very desirable.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, though.
Maybe it signals to the body that if there's multiple men, this is a good time to have a baby because she can choose the better father.
I don't know the chemistry behind it. I have no idea. But
that's
apparently,
just a guess. But.
Yeah. Apparently that is a thing.
I had to read, like, a book on this last semester for my biology class. Mm-hmm. It was pretty hot and heavy, I have to say. But other than that, like, it is kind of similar to that, but it's also, like, if the guy, like, somehow there's, like, an emotional connection to it. So, like, if the woman is lacking that emotional connection with the guy she's cheating on, like, her body kind of knows she's cheating, and then it becomes more receptive to, like, his DNA, because, like, the idea is that then he is, like, stronger than the guy she's faithful with.
Oh,
because he was able to pull her away.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of sick. But
yeah, the human body's kind of a scumbag.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, that's not convenient. I've got to ask you, Mr. Amazing. Are you able to like pick up chicks really easily because you have a successful YouTube channel? Like, you ever go up to them and you're like, "Hey, I have hundreds of thousands of subscribers."
See, I've thought about it, but like, apparently other YouTubers used to do that and now they get clowned on for it. And like, I'm not trying to have that happen to me. And also, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of dorky. It's like, hey, I put out videos online. That's pretty cool, right?
I do video essays.
Yeah, right. I use JSTOR.
Your voice automatically like becomes dorky by saying
I knew what you were going for right away.
Yeah. The glasses just manifest instantly.
By the way,
bifocals.
By the way, speaking of the fact that you make YouTube videos, if people wanted to check that out and watch your video essays on Vaporwave, Trump in a very objective way, X, and a variety of other subjects, how would they do
that? Classic YouTube.
They could go to www.youtube.com/Mr. Amazing. That's spelled out MISTERAMAZING.
Oh, that was a total boomer move, by the way. You don't need to do the www anymore.
I had to, you know.
Oh, just for effect.
MISTERMOUSE.
Oh, okay.
Mr.
Funny
Mouse.
Stuff, Joe.
All right.
Funny stuff. And if people wanted to check out our show, how would they do that, Joe?
YouTube.com/Mr. Amazing, all one word, spelled out.
Yeah. You guys don't need instructions for how to check out our show, because if you're listening right now, you're checking out our show. Just follow the links in the description. Yeah.
You already succeeded. Know where to listen.
Yeah. But if people have been tuning in for a while and they want to get special benefits on the Discord, just like several people who are tuning in, by joining our $2 patron tiers and above, how would they go about doing that, Joe?
They just go to patreon.com/T1podcast. It's easy as pie. Easy peasy.
And what do they get?
They get to listen to the episodes as soon as they come out. It's a big one. They can change their nickname in the chat. That's kind of a small one. But they
Joe's, you just said that they can listen to the episodes when they come out?
Well, early. As soon as they're done. They can listen to the episodes as soon as they're done being edited.
All right. Let's take that from the top, because this is an ad for our Patreon.
All right. Well, they would just go to patreon.com/T1podcast. That would listen. They would just go to patreon.com/T1podcast. That would allow them to listen to the episodes as soon as they're done being edited. And I mean, as soon as they're done being edited, like Lars hasn't even uploaded them yet.
Yeah, I go ahead and I export them. I give them a listen just to make sure that they're kosher. And I toss them out to our patrons early.
And I know something about keeping kosher.
Yes, as a Jewish man.
Joseph Petunia Rosenblum.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
You get early listening access. You get a special role in the Discord. You get some patron-only hangouts, which are coming up soon. You get the ability to change your nickname, because we actually trust you on the server, not to put some racial slur on there. You get a bunch of other cool stuff. At patreon.com/T1podcast, join the $2 tier and help the content creators that you appreciate. We'll spend your money wisely.
I'm so hungry. Lars, when can I have more food?
As soon as patreon.com gives us our next month's salary.
Please. Please. Please join our $2 tier. Please, I'm so hungry.
You go for like a little Pippin voice there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Little Pippin.
Mm-hmm.
Please, sir. No, but in all honesty, please. Gotta chuckle. That's more laughs than I got all year.